Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. This is a location where we talk about the real issues that men deal with on a daily basis. It's all about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. His word says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. It's all about being able to reach those who seem that they are unable to be reached, and those who feel like there is no hope in their life, and even those who just need just some encouragement today. Brother, we're here for you. We're all about getting real. Forget the stuff that is on the surface. We're to get down into the heart and soul of what makes us tick and what makes us do the things that we do. In the studio today, I've got Steve with me today, and I'm glad that you're here this morning with me, brother.
Well, I'm happy to be here again with you, Raul. It's a beautiful morning.
But before we get into the meat of everything, we're going to get right back into the book of James. We're going to be talking about something about, has nothing to do with the hospital, but we're going to be talking about patience. And so you'll want to stick around for that one. But in the meantime, we actually like to kick things off with an email that one of you have sent in to us. And if you have a challenge or anything that you would like, maybe clarification or our opinion or our experience on, brother, you email that in to help@bandofbrothersradio.com, and we will do the best we can to get that on the air and anonymously answer that email. And we'll let you know what day that is actually being posted so that you can actually listen to it on the podcast. So, but before we get into, of course, the meat and all of that, brother, we've got a few of them there to choose from.
Well, we do. And you're right. We are going to be talking about patients this morning and not the kind that you'd find at the hospital. And I'm looking forward to getting into James chapter 5 here in a couple of minutes and seeing what we can learn. The email, Raul, that we're going to go over this morning is, I think, probably the shortest email that I've seen since I've been here with you on Mondays and Fridays. It's just two sentences. It's very brief. It's very much to the point. And it would be very easy to read this email and address it and go down the wrong path. But here it is, two sentences, obviously from a man. Can you talk about guilt and shame? I'm having a hard time dealing with my past use of pornography. Now, pornography's a whole issue by itself. Mm-hmm. But at the core of this request, and you know, I think many times these emails, Raul, they're a cry for help.
Yes.
When somebody listens to the program, they take the time to write the email. This is not just mental gymnastics. These are brothers and sisters who they're listening because they love the Lord. They have a yearning in their heart to experience all that God has promised to us through Jesus Christ. And they're asking honest questions. In fact, many of them, I think, are asking questions that they could not ask anyplace else and wouldn't know who to turn to ask. And so because the format here is send it in, it's anonymous, mm-hmm. And they get to hear a response, I think many times this is a desperate cry from the heart. So we could talk about pornography, but that's not the issue here in this brother's request. That's mm-hmm. his problem,
right.
But that's not the issue.
Right.
And those are two different things.
Absolutely.
Because frequently we deal with the symptom, but we don't really get down to the fundamental issue.
Absolutely.
And so we could say, Can you talk about guilt and shame? I'm having a hard time dealing with my past use of alcohol, or I'm having a hard time dealing with my past infidelity, mm-hmm. or I'm having a hard time dealing with my past dishonesty. So you could put any issue in there,
right?
Any
right.
problem,
right?
But we want to get down to the heart. So what this brother's experiencing is obviously he's saying this was a past problem.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere he's crossed a line where he's turned towards God.
Right.
And we're going to assume he said, Lord, forgive me, mm-hmm. cleanse me,
mm-hmm.
wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe your word. I welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And we're making an assumption here, but I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of that, he's still experiencing some guilt and some shame.
Right.
So if this brother traded places with me right now, was mm-hmm. sitting across the desk from you,
mm-hmm.
what would you say to him?
Well, I would say first and foremost, I so appreciate the courage of just bringing this out. Whether you're here in front of us or just sending off an email, you know, this is an arena where, and Steve is so correct in saying that, you know, the drinking, the drugging, the pornography, the gambling, all of these issues and challenges that we have are just a symptom. There is a living problem that I have had prior to this. And finding out what all of those were, what it was I was running from, what I don't want to be revealed, what I don't want to see, what I want to keep secret. All of those things are the things within me that I believe eventually has to come out into the light. And when it does, then we will feel true freedom and joy. That relationship with Jesus Christ, that is part of what takes place. When we receive Him, we receive the Holy Spirit within us. In the flesh, we have, that is the, you know, the evil spirit, in a sense. I know when I ended up getting clean and sober, I ended up having to become aware of a lot of the things that took place that I needed to take care of, clean up house, in a sense, as far as making amends to people, taking care of business, taking responsibility back in areas where I had fallen short. And I began, and I tell you, I always told people, I said, man, I was raised a Catholic. I know all about guilt. I felt guilt all the time. You looked at me cross-eyed, I felt guilty. It was my fault that you're looking at me cross-eyed. What have I done? And when we become truly aware of the challenges in my past, that gives me an opportunity to be able to allow God to overcome this in me. You know, part of what the Lord talks about in His Word, the book of James is so, when we're in the book right now, we're going to be maybe even talking about it a little bit, where we talk about bringing others around us, that we pray together. We reveal our sins to each other. Then we pray with each other. And what happens as a result of that, there's a healing that takes place. And then it's just brought up as a banner that the prayers of a righteous man, you know, are powerful and effective. Okay? So what you feel right now, brother, is very normal. Very normal. You know what? I'm going to tell you, you probably have heard things from the enemy telling you that you can't do this. You might as well just give up. You've heard the lies already. He's already trying to tell you that, you know what? It is futile to keep on going down this route because you might as well just give it all up. You know, just follow me is what he's trying to do. And he's trying to take you out, brother, because we are in a spiritual battle. He is not going to stop attempting to take you out, get you off focus. So what you have to do is you have to just, in a sense, man up, in a sense, of starting to say, hey, you know what? I am going to stand firm here. I am not going to listen to your lies. I'm going to listen to my brothers who are saying, find other brothers that I can connect with to be able to share what's going on, knowing that there's a grieving period. Let me tell you something, brother. When there's a loss in our life, you have to go through a grieving period. Doesn't matter what it is. If you've all of a sudden found yourself free of pornography, but you're feeling guilt and shame as a result of it, that's part of the grieving period. So go ahead, grieve it, but give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. He knows what to do with it. And let me tell you something. That issue that you had with pornography is going to end up being one of the greatest assets that you will have. That's one of your weaknesses that the Lord will use to be able to reach other men, to say, when that guy sits in front of you or at the same table you're at, or maybe at a lunch or at a picnic or whatever, or playing ball with him, all of a sudden he says, man, I got this issue with pornography. I don't know what to do with it, man. And you're gonna look and you're going to say, here, let me share some experiences with you. So you're going to be able to, God has already, you don't think, he's orchestrated this. Brother, so just persevere through this. This is all part of it. It's all part of the refining, the strengthening, the sharpening, okay? So just thank God that he loves you enough, that he's given you a purpose, and that's coming down the road. So you need to just take care of business today. It's not going to go away. It's not ever going to go away. The enemy's always going to continue talking to you. And I'm just rattling on and on and on here, so I just...
I'm enjoying it. I'm just sitting here taking it all in. When this brother writes and talks about guilt and shame, and we're going to believe that he's going to hear this, and this is going to be helpful to him. But what I would add to what you've already said, Raoul, is that Jesus said when he comes back again, will he find faith on the earth? Mm. You know, and faith is a work of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we're saved by grace through faith. Yes. And grace is rooted in this fact that Jesus, and we're coming to Easter, Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. And just as in the Old Testament, a man stood and put his hand on the head of the animal and his guilt was transferred, and then the animal was sacrificed so that he was freed from his guilt. Didn't change the fact about what he had done in the past, but it was a physical act of transfer that would register with him mentally and spiritually, and so he could walk away knowing that his guilt and his shame had been removed.
Yes.
The book of Hebrews tells us that Christ came, our lamb, and not sacrificed over and over again, but once and for all for our sins. Mm. And so this healing in this brother's life, and that's what he needs. He needs healing from God over the damage, the destructive damage that was done to his spirit, his mind, his emotions, his will. And it is absolutely the will of God to heal him, deliver him, to restore him, to set him free. But it begins by faith, by knowing that our sin, the Bible says that he became sin for us.
Yes.
He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So there is that act of faith whereby we receive God's grace. But here's where the enemy comes into attack. So shame, when you experience shame, it's rooted in the belief that somehow I am a flawed human being. Mm-hmm. And I have this sense of inferiority and emotional crippledness, if that's an expression, that even when I get around other people, I feel somehow that I'm less, that I'm diminished, that I have this secret, that there's this dark cloud, that somehow I'm flawed. Mm-hmm. And then guilt just globs onto that and intensifies the emotion. Mm-hmm. So, but we have a new identity. Our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come.
Amen.
The scripture says, reckon yourself dead unto sin. And that's an accounting term. Mm-hmm. Count yourself dead. Doesn't matter if you feel dead, are dead, look dead. That's not the point. Reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God.
Amen.
I heard somebody say the other day that if you will read your Bible 4 or 5 times a week, the probability that you will live in victory goes up, and I can't remember the percentage they put on it, but just the act of reading your Bible on a consistent, regular basis, the probability that you'll be pulled backwards diminishes greatly.
Yes.
And, you know, you can beat people up and say, man, you just need to read the Word more and you just need to pray more. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that the Word of God is alive.
Yes.
We embrace it by faith. And the more we fill our lives with God's Word, the less impact this evil influence has on us. Because this is simply an attempt of the powers of evil, which are present in this world, to pull this brother back into darkness. Mm-hmm. Because when you carry the burden of guilt and shame, eventually it becomes too heavy. Your will, your emotions crack under the pressure, and you find yourself seeking relief in the same miry pit that God has pulled you out of. So look to the cross, have a new identity, receive grace by faith. As you walk in that grace, you will get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And we're here today to say there is victory in Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And we're going to take a break right now. We're going to be back, and we're going to be talking about that stuff that's not in the hospital.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
I tell you, I feel like an old bear today because I love the slower pace of winter. Some of you have been as busy as a one-legged cat in a sandbox. And brothers, it's time to slow down and spend time with the family. And the very best place to gather the family is around the dining table, featuring, of course, a delicious Hempler's ham. Woo-wee! Or maybe pork and beans with some tasty Hempler's bacon cooked in it. Now, I know some of you worry about weird ingredients that some companies put in their bacon these days, but don't get your knickers in a knot. Hempler's Meats uses the finest raw ingredients available, including natural spices, and guess what? No gluten. So if you're ready to hibernate for the winter, then order your own supply of Hempler's Meats delivered right to your cave. To place your order, go to Hemplers.com.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. I'm Raul, and I've got Steve in the studio with me today. And, man, that was an awesome email that was sent in. And I just love hearing from the hearts of what's taking place in men. It jazzes me up, man, because I'm sitting there, I'm going, man, thank you, Lord. You
know? Yeah, it really does.
It's not about just saying, hey, how are you today? Doing good, thanks for asking, and then going from there. No, it's a little bit more than that. So thank the Lord for that opportunity that he gives us to be able to do what we do here. Steve, we've been talking about the book of James, and James has been hitting us between the eyeballs, and it looks like he's going to probably do the same again here.
Absolutely. And as we have stated, you know, the Bible is for everybody, men, women, teenagers, boys and girls, young, old, doesn't matter. The Word of God is alive. It's living. It's true in every generation. The Word of God is true in all places at all times. I hear an ongoing discussion in the background today that, you know, it's culturally irrelevant and we need to redefine, you know, some of the basic viewpoints of Scripture. That is absolutely such an incorrect and deceitful and deceptive belief system. God's Word is true. In every culture,
yes.
Every moment of every person's life,
yes.
Now, and you know what? God's Word, Raul, think about this. God's Word, this Bible that we have, this Word is going to endure forever.
Amen.
Because it's the living Word. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the Word of God, you know, came and took on flesh and dwelled among us. So we're in James. We're talking to men.
Mm-hmm.
James is a book that I think James was a man's man. You couldn't put one over on James. He calls people to task.
Yeah.
He makes you stand up and salute. he's not cutting any corners. He doesn't soft coat anything. He gets right down with clarity to the heart issues that challenge all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And our spirit bears witness with the Holy Spirit when we read God's truth. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, he's going to be your teacher. He's going to be your counselor. Mm-hmm. I'm going away, but he's going to be with you always.
Mm-hmm.
And so many of the principles here in the book of James, if you turned over to Galatians and you read the fruits of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
you would find that James is identifying, you know, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, patience,
self-control.
Self-control, that he's identifying those fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
And he's saying, hey, basically he's saying, yield yourself to God.
Mm-hmm.
Stop your old natural ways and start living in the Spirit.
Yes.
Well, I don't know of an area that perhaps challenges us more than what we're talking about today. Listen to the Word of God. This is James chapter 5, verse 7. Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, and how patient he is for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Do not grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Verse 10. Brothers, be an example of patience in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy.
Yes.
So he tells us to be patient. That's a challenge.
Mm.
But get this, in verse 10, he says, be an example of patience. So in other words, not just patient in your own heart and life, but be patient in such a way that the people around you are going to see this grace from God resting on your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Raul, my dear brother, I know that this is a problem that other people have,
mm-hmm.
patience. And I know that you today are above that. But has there ever been a time in the distant past when you've struggled with waiting to get what you want?
This morning?
That works.
How about that for the distant past? Huh?
That definitely works.
Lord, do I have to go through this morning?
Yeah.
Do I have to, you know, oh, brother, it's on a daily, it's constant, you know? You know, this reminds me of something when you were just...
thought, because I want to pin you down here.
Okay.
So what is...
You're good at doing that, so might as well continue on.
What What does patience look like in Raul's life?
Hmm. Well...
Our producer is just cracking up.
I'm not even looking in that direction.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even want to go there.
Yeah.
What does patience look like? Well, it depends on the circumstance. I will tell you this. You will see if you...
Oh, I can't let you off the hook on that. No. There's no depends on the circumstances.
Yeah. One circumstance is how my attitude is, how my heart is. When I'm right with God,
okay,
it seems like everything is right. I have more patience.
Okay, perfect. Now that's what we're talking about. So... when you are right with God. Now, you correct me if I'm wrong. You're not perfect yet.
Nope.
You're challenged, just like all the rest of us. Mm-hmm. We're being sanctified. Mm-hmm. We're going from glory to glory to glory. It's like Joyce Meyer says, we're not as good as we want to be, but we're a whole lot better than we used to be.
Amen.
We're on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing in the Lord. We're maturing. But when you say you're right with God, that doesn't mean that you've achieved some kind of performance standard.
Mm-hmm.
But it does mean, and this is very important, and I hope every man can hear this, it means that you are in tune with the Spirit.
Amen.
Just like a guitar.
Yes. Yes.
You're in tune. When I'm right with God, doesn't mean it's not my performance.
Right.
I still have a lot of areas to grow in. We're being honest about those.
Right.
But when you say you're right with God, you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. And what I just heard you say, when you're in tune with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, patience flows through you.
Yes.
So let me ask you this. Why and how does a spiritual leader like you, how do you get out of tune, brother?
The flesh.
Because when you're out of tune, you're telling me that you're not as patient.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that happens a lot. I mean, I mentioned earlier to the brother about having the Spirit within us, okay, which is God. And I also have the flesh, which is, I believe, the evil, That is part of what my nature is to want to. I want the easier, softer way.
Okay, so when you say flesh, you mean your old nature.
My old nature.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And in turn, when I'm in fear, okay, the only way I get into fear is all of a sudden I start to believe some of the lies or some of the old thinking that comes up that says, you're not going to be able to handle this. You're not going to be able to deal with this. You don't know what to do. You're in fear. You might as well stay afraid. You might as well just forget doing this. You might as well just run away from all of this. Those are the thoughts that come into my head, and it doesn't matter what the situation is, but it's those thoughts that put me in that fear. I may believe just even a little bit because the enemy's good at being able to tie in a little bit of truth with the lie.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, that's pertinent. That makes sense. Oh, yes, I do recall. That's what happened before. Oh, it'll happen again. Then all of a sudden, I start to believe that, and when that's in my heart, guess what? All of a sudden now, anything else that takes place that might be questionable in my life, whereas if I'm in the right spirit and right with God and I'm rebuking the enemy and none of these things are affecting me, then I truly can come and not have to worry about being patient. I can be patient. It's all in God's timing. Saying it and doing it are two different things.
Oh, absolutely.
Two different things. And that's one thing that, you know, my wife has a deal with me. She says, I can always tell when you're not being completely truthful with me or you're trying to keep something hidden. She says, your nostrils flare. Okay? I told her, I said, they flare all the time, you know? But truly what it comes down to is that there are indications that others who are close to us can actually tell us that. And that's where we get upset sometimes. I can get upset with the fact that she says that. She's my wife. I love her. But does she have to point that out to me? I already know that,
right.
You know, and yet, see, that's what the enemy wants. The enemy wants us to all of a sudden create some quarrels, some challenges in our life, takes us off focus of what God had intended for us to be doing at that moment.
Okay, critical point. You just stated we get off focus. So we're walking down a pathway.
Yeah.
We're walking with Jesus. Yeah. We are in tune with the Spirit.
Yes.
We're still in the progress of becoming the men we want to become. The fruit of the Spirit, increasingly we want more and more of the love of God, more and more of the patience that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not something that comes from us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you said there's the old nature, there's walking in the Spirit, and that the enemy, the evil that is in this world,
yes,
that is out there, which Paul describes as spiritual powers of evil in the heavenly realm,
mm-hmm,
in Ephesians chapter 6, is basically trying to get us out of tune with the Spirit.
Amen.
Okay.
Yes.
So, and so when those moments come, so James is saying, be patient.
Mm-hmm.
So what does it look like when the enemy gets you out of tune, Raoul,
mm-hmm,
and you're not showing? I mean, what's the deal with patience? What are you being patient for, or what causes you to not be patient? Can you identify that?
Well, it's my desire to have what I want.
Oh, that's it. Because you want what you want.
Exactly.
And when you can't get what you want, what happens?
I throw a tantrum.
Exactly. No, that's exactly right.
That's it.
So you get angry.
Yep.
And if you'll recall back here in James chapter 1, where mm-hmm, we started this mm-hmm study, James said, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because right, anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires.
Amen.
Okay, so basically, what I just heard you say, you correct me if I'm wrong,
mm-hmm,
is that patience is an easy thing to have until suddenly you don't get your way or you don't get what you want.
Right.
And all of a sudden, when you don't get what you want, something goes off inside.
Right.
We become angry. Anger does what? It leads to another set of expressions and explosions and interpersonal dynamics, and all of a sudden, we're going down the wrong path.
Right.
Okay? Now, when we come back in a few moments after the break, here's what's so critical about this. Notice the scripture says here, See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the things that we are going to get from the Lord, the work of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
requires a sowing of the seed,
yep.
the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's this period between the planting and the harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
If we wait patiently, we will get the harvest.
Right.
We will see the work of God in our lives. We will see victory in our lives. This brother that sent us the email earlier today, if he will wait patiently, mm-hmm. if he will mm-hmm. sow the Word of God in his heart,
mm-hmm.
it gets sown today. There's this growing time mm-hmm. and then the harvest. But if we get impatient, as you just stated,
mm-hmm.
we don't get what we want, even what we want from God.
That's right.
We get angry. And all of a sudden, we're off track, and we never do see the harvest. So it's the enemy's tactic. James just lays it out here for us. This is what Satan is going to try to do.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus told it in the parable of the sower. The Word of God comes into our heart, and it's the enemy that comes and tries to steal it away.
Yes.
But if we'll wait patiently,
yes,
trusting God,
right.
I'm not getting my way, but I'm going to stay in tune with the Spirit.
Yes.
Things aren't working out the way I wanted, but I'm going to stay in tune with the Spirit. This doesn't seem to be going the direction I thought it would go, but I'm going to stay in tune
mm-hmm.
with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll wait patiently, God promises there is a harvest.
And when we come back from the break, we're going to maybe explain to you a little bit about this sowing, what that really means. I think it's more like aerating the soil, watering the seed, doing all those things that farmers and gardeners really know how to do. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
As iron sharpens iron, this is Band of Brothers Radio, streaming and podcasting daily at faithplace.org.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
Well, today I found myself after searching all these years. And the man that I saw, he wasn't at all who I thought he'd be. That was lost when you found me here. That was broken beyond repair. Then you came along and you sang your song over me. It feels like I'm born again.
Doesn't it feel like it? Born again. I tell you, the Word of God is alive and active, brother. And he's in this studio, but he's also in your life. Steve, we've been talking about the sowing of the seed. That seed has been planted by the Word of God in our hearts. And staying patient, does that have to do with taking care of the soil? I mean, the farmer doesn't just plant the seed and then let it wait and sits back and lets it do something. He actually goes through and aerates the soil, waters it, and does whatever's necessary to help protect it and get it to grow correctly.
Absolutely. And when Jesus told the parable of the sower, you know, some fell on the hard ground, some fell on the stony ground. There was the seed that fell on the good ground.
Right.
It brought forth a hundredfold.
Mm-hmm.
So the soil makes a difference. And one of the things where we have a problem with patience is there are things in our lives that are beyond our control.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control what other people do. I can't control other people's attitudes and actions.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control a great deal of the circumstances in the world going on around me. But one thing I do have control over is the spiritual soil, so to speak, that I want to plant my life into. Mm-hmm. So the books I read, the people I see, the thoughts I think, the prayers I pray, the services I attend, the ministries I participate in, all of those things, that's can become the soil of my life. Or I can withdraw and simply isolate myself and not cultivate the spiritual side of my life, not do any of the personal growth work that is part of maturing in Jesus and going on in this process of sanctification, allowing the Holy Spirit to make us more and more and more like Jesus in terms of our heart attitude and our mindset and our actions, our behaviors. So that's, we have a lot of control over ourselves. Mm-hmm. And in fact, that's oftentimes the focus is we're impatient because the people around us and the situations around us don't give us what we want. Mm-hmm. So we become angry. But notice what James says, that he says, be an example of patience, brothers, in the face of suffering. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we consider blessed those who have persevered. You have heard about Job's perseverance and seen what the Lord finally brought about. So there's a principle woven into this. There is the sowing and the reaping, the law of the harvest. Here James talks about the farmer, he talks about the prophets, and he talks about Job. The prophets prophesied about the great day of the Lord, but they didn't see it in their lifetime. Many of the things they prophesied about. They prophesied about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, the kingdom, the coming of the kingdom of God. They didn't see that in their lifetime. It wasn't real in the physical world around them, but it was real in their spirits. Well, Peter tells us that we are aliens and strangers in this present world. This world, as we know it, is not our home. And we're talking about seeing through spiritual eyes, that this world is while there are so many things that we can enjoy and they bring pleasure and comfort, but the reality is this world cannot give us what our hearts long for. We have deposited in us the earnest or the down payment of our redemption, the Holy Spirit, which witnesses with us, there's a better day coming, Raul.
Amen.
Be patient, brother. No matter, you're struggling today, but this is not it. This is not your life. There is a better day coming. And Scripture says in Revelation, behold, I make all things new. The great day of the Lord is ahead of us. Many Christians today have missed this point. They're looking for a relationship with God in this present world to completely satisfy and they, you know, be blessed and everything's going to go well and you're going to prosper. And I will tell you, if you come to Christ, your life's going to get better. But we're going to suffer in this present age. The New Testament makes that absolutely clear. We have an eternal hope.
Yes.
We have an eternal relationship with the Lord. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Be patient, brother. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be like this. As we get older and our bodies begin to fail us, be patient, brother, because you're going to get a new body. When people mistreat you and they slight you because you're a follower of Christ and they treat you like you're the odd person out, maybe at work or in your neighborhood, be patient, brother, because one of these days we're going to be walking in the presence of the King. That's what Scripture's saying. We're not going to get it all here. And that's what separates historic Christianity from this pablum that's being taught at so many levels today, is that we have a living hope, and history is filled with men and women who stood the test. And notice here, James says, take your stand, stand firm, be patient, stand firm. Many have gone even to the point of death, saying, I will demonstrate in my death what I believed in my life. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And they went out knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So be patient. Be patient.
We are to be fools for Christ, as
absolutely,
it says.
Absolutely.
And that's what, hey, it's, you know, that day with him, when he says, come,
yeah,
there's no evil. We're not going to have to worry about the lies being told to us.
Absolutely. When we get saved, we are delivered from the penalty of sin.
Yes.
As we continue to walk with Christ and allow the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, we are continuously growing and being delivered from the power of sin. Mm-hmm. And you just said it. One of these days, we're going to be completely delivered from the presence of sin.
Amen. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio. We'll be right back.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I keep listening to the music, and the producer, Debbie's back there waving, come on, come on. You know, I'm just into it a little bit here.
You're in tune.
I am.
You're in tune with the Spirit.
You know what? I have patience right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That could go away if I listen to and pay attention to the lie and believe it. So, but anyway, why don't you kind of lead us on here, brother?
Well, I think that's what we're saying this morning, Raul, is that, and you said it here as we were starting this discussion on this passage in James, that when we're in tune with the Spirit. So if I walk into a guitar store and I have a tuning key and it's an A, if I hit that tuning key, every guitar in that store that has an A string on it, that little string will begin to resonate. Hmm. They're in tune. Hmm. And so as men, we're tuning ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We're not asking God to come to do our deal.
Right.
We're tuning ourselves to the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Patience then is a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So we're yielding ourselves to God. We are not always going to get what we want when we want it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said earlier, that thing in us that goes off, that wants to throw a tantrum and be angry, that's our old nature.
Right.
And daily, today, your challenge and my challenge is going to be reckoning that old nature dead,
mm-hmm,
and saying, God, I belong to you.
Right.
I want to be in tune with the Spirit. I want to walk with you. And know that there's a period between the sowing of the seed and the reaping of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
So even the things that we want from God, the fruit of the Spirit, help in certain areas of our lives, it all comes by faith. We don't get better. We don't get remodeled. We get renewed, brother.
Right. Right.
God doesn't make the old man better. He kills the old man so the new man can live. So during that period, we're walking by faith. And the scripture says, be patient. Be patient. Wait. Because in the end, and notice what it says here, you've heard of Job's perseverance, and we know his story. We don't have time, nor do we need to rehearse it this morning. Job went through an extended period of difficulty, and yet he continued to trust in the Lord. And notice what it says. You heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the finally is for Job's benefit and our benefit, because with God, time's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So I want to say, based on this passage, to every man that's listening, be patient, get in tune with the Spirit, the desires, delight yourself in the Lord, the scripture says, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So the thing you desire, don't let go of your desire. Be patient. Stay in tune with the Spirit, because our God is full of compassion and he's full of mercy. We don't understand what he's doing or how he's doing it or even what he's going to do sometimes. But in that moment, be patient and stay in tune with the Spirit.
So when I'm actually out of sorts, so to speak, when I'm actually at that point of seeing how I am reacting and feeling toward circumstances around me, whether they're verbal or physical, that all of a sudden I need to just look one direction, and that's where my heart is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to feel that emotion that we don't get what we want. Mm-hmm. But we know better now.
Yes.
We know that the Holy Spirit, who we're in tune with.
Right.
And so you say, well, I get out of tune, so I start getting angry. Well, listen, man up and tune the guitar.
Yes, yes.
Tune it.
And part of that is being and hanging around and with those men that you think, man, I don't want them in my life, because they're going to start looking at what I'm doing and seeing how bad I am and how wrong I've done things and maybe find out some of my secret things. You know, brother, that's all part of what God is orchestrating. He wants that stuff to come out of you so he can use you completely, fully for his benefit, to be able to reach those who are still in darkness, for those who are still crying for help. You may not even have those men in your life yet, but they will come. But they are waiting for you to get your relationship right with him. They can't be helped until you have been helped by the Almighty.
Well, you know, conviction is most often created in me when I see in somebody else something I know that I really want inside of myself. Mm. And that's the thing about being an example. And this example word has been tossed around in churches, and it's crippled and destroyed people. God's not telling us to fake it.
Yep.
He's just saying, listen, get in tune. Patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And come Monday, we're probably going to try to wrap James up together as best we can.
Prayer of faith.
And we'll just go with that. In the meantime, brother, would you mind just giving us a short prayer for all of us?
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we yield our lives to you this morning. Tune our hearts to the voice of your Spirit. May we walk in your presence, your purpose, and your power today. Bless our brothers. Strengthen and encourage. We turn towards the light. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Brother, the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. There is hope, and you are not alone.